And here's a week, are you? Because I'm 18 years old, so I've got a big job on my hands to give you shots of my age and everything. Well, I was born in Barrow-in-Furness in 1940. As a young baby, I was about 6 months old. For about 3 or 4 months, we lived in, well, at night time we lived in the barns, in the woods, up by, in the farms, because Barrow got bombed very heavily. And the Baptist church in Barrow was hit on a landmine, and the minister was killed, the youth worker was killed as they were on night watch. And my dad, he worked in a brick company, but in the war, he had to work in Vickers. So I worked in Vickers in the shipbuilding, the labour in the shipbuilding. The night was on fire duty. And that night was on fire duty, and he had to dig out the minister and the youth worker from the church. So that's a bit of my early history. Apparently my cot was the top drawer. You can buy cots of things when I was a baby. And most of my clothes were passed on. So people lived very close to each other in those days. Aunts and uncles were very close, so as my cousins grew up, I had theirs, and as I grew up, they had theirs, and it's all passed down because you might come back or something like that. So that's my early life. Part of my life has been in the Christian family. There's never been a time when I haven't known Jesus. I can't remember a time when I haven't known him. It's always been me. At the age of 14, when I made my own commitment to be baptized, and then at the age of 16, I was a Sunday school teacher, and at 18, I was a deacon, and that's how my life was. I did a lot of pastoral work in the church, and that's my sort of theme. And working life, I started shoe repairing, and corporate shoe repairing, 5 years. Then I went to work for Kay Shoes, and they opened a big factory in there, just outside Barrow. I was there for Kay Shoes for 21 years, and I finished as head of quality control in the factory in Barrow itself. So that's my working career. But God called me to ministry, and I can't say when he called me, but it was life really. My life was ministry. And I've never seen how I could go into ministry because I'm academic. No, that's another story. But at the age of, in 1981, I was given the opportunity to go to Manchester Baptist College on the alternative training course they have. And I was told it's especially for people like me. I had a church base in Appleton, and I was their student pastor for 3 years. And wonderful ministry. In the church, so many people have been baptized, and the church grew and financially the giving for Rootland, and they were in a wonderful position. And then I was called to Rochdale, and I was in Rochdale 8 years, and that's when my first wife died after a very long illness, a mental illness, and a brain, apparently with brain disease, and it was making the brain sticky, and it died. And she was 41 when she died after a very long illness. And I was a church, a very busy church, but also having responsibility for a wife who was very ill. And it was a hard time. But then I met Vivian, and we've been married now for 32 years. And we got 3 wonderful girls for our marriage. I'm going to stop there because I could go on, but that's part of my life. Yeah. I could keep you not coming, but there we are. But look a bit about me. I'm going to turn to Luke's Gospel and chapter 11. And it's all based on prayer. And it's a wonderful passage to think about as we have the week of prayer. So let's just look at this passage. One day, when Jesus prayed in a certain place, when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus said, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, and we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at night and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine is on a journey and has come to me, and I have no food for him. And suppose one of the sight answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you bread because of friendship, yet because of his shame of authority, he will surely give up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. And one who seeks finds. And if one will knock, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, or give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Let's pray and ask God to bless his word to us. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We want to pray that you take this word and speak it to our hearts afresh, perhaps in a new understanding, Father, because your word is a living word, and it comes to us in many different ways, in different forms, and feeds us, and challenges us. And so, Father God, we come before you. We pray in the name of Jesus, for the power of your Holy Spirit, you will take this living word and speak it into our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, Amen. First line. And so I say to you, ask and it'll be given. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened. So I'm told you had a wonderful week. We were there on Tuesday, there was a good prayer meeting, but sorry to miss the rest of the week. Feeling very appropriate, it's gone to big church week in there. I think they're enjoying it. So they had a beautiful day. See the sunshine, hardly, and we had all the rain. So we had a shower of blessing. They had the rain of blessing. That's how it goes, isn't it? But it's really good to be with you this morning. Now I hope you have really been blessed this week. You've been able to go to the prayer meeting and be engaged in that. Because prayer, as Norman reminded us last week, prayer is the foundation of the church. The early church gathered together in prayer. And when they prayed, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And that's when things began to happen. See, prayer, when I was growing up, prayer was the powerhouse of the church. You're hearing much of these days, didn't you? And the prayer meeting was probably one of the biggest meetings in the church, in the early churches, they had. I remember when I was a boy, we went to the prayer meeting, when I was a teenager, went to the prayer meeting, and at least half the church was there. You know, a congregation of 120, there'd be 60, 70 people there. All bring your Bibles, and you know, we used to all joke, and the biggest Bible you carry, you know,
more religious you were, more fervent you were.
But there were some really good times at ministry in prayer. Prayer is a powerhouse of the Father. And this week you've been praying for the life of the church, the life of the fellowship. And that life it has to be the focus, but you have to be, this is where God has placed you. And he wants you to pray. But the prayer week is just the beginning. You think now, you say you've got 80 week this week.
Well, don't say that to God. Be careful what you say. Because you never know what you've come up with. You might end up with a busy week.
But prayer. See, this passage, I always think when the Gospel, it's amazing how each of the Gospel take everything that Jesus said and spoke and the life he did with them, and they mold it around into different themes. So Matthew takes this this part of this prayer and he reads it into the Sermon on the Mount. But Luke here takes it and his whole focus is on prayer and the Spirit. And it's the disciples come and say, they've just seen Jesus praying. I wonder what it's like to see Jesus praying. He went up into those mountains, or into the wilderness, to be on his own, to be with his Father. I wonder what it's like. Ever wonder. It must have been absolutely amazing that to see him interceding and being with his Father, one in the Spirit, Father, Son, Spirit, together in that time of intimate relationship. Because that's what prayer is. And this is where the disciples come and say, Lord, teach us to pray. As John saw his disciples pray. They've just seen Jesus praying. And they want to pray like Jesus prayed. And that's why they said, teach us to pray. I've just said to you in my introduction, I never knew a long time then Jesus had been my Saviour, my Lord. And as a young man, I could, in the prayer, I could pray. It was natural to me. But I want to tell you something. I'm still learning. Are you still learning? You see, we never stop learning. And perhaps our daily prayer should be first in the morning. Lord, teach us to pray. Because that's the heart, isn't it? That's the heart of where we are. It's part of the relationship. You see, I don't know everybody by name, but some of you are married. If you're married, you don't talk to your wife or your partner or anything like that. It'd be queer, wouldn't it? Oh, you wouldn't have a relationship. Isn't that like Jesus? See, prayer isn't just about coming that moment and in prayer and speaking words. It's more than that. It's a relationship. And so you wake up one morning and pray. But does your prayer stop there? No. It should carry on through the day. Every moment, every day, everything you see, everything you do, should be focused on Jesus, what he would do. And this is where Jesus comes in and says, when you pray in my name, it will happen. Ask me anything. And in John's Gospel, he tells him that when we come and pray in his name, it will be done. How many people I've met, especially in chaplain, so I was a chaplain in Southend for 8 years, part time after retired. And a number of people come to me, I don't go to church anymore. Oh, why? Well, I prayed for my daughter to be well and she died. Or I prayed for this and it didn't happen. And I prayed for that and it didn't happen. If God had really answered my prayers. And we want to fit God into the body. Oh, we're not like that. Are we not? Do we not want, when we pray, I will pray what Jesus said in my name. For his glory, for his purposes, or is it something that we want? I know the feeling, and let's be honest with you, most of the time, it's what I want. I know when my late wife was ill, and I prayed for her to be healed. That's what I wanted. I wanted her healed. I wanted to pray, and I met the saints of grace, certain ones. I believe in prayer, and God can heal it, and it will make new brain cells come. And he looked at me and said, Peter, I hope not. I said, why not? He said, if brain grows more cells, it's a tumour. Don't ask God to do that. I thought, No. It's not easy. And when she was in hospital, about 6 months at one time, and I went in that one afternoon to see her, and then a man came up to me and says, Peter, do you know your wife has the power to heal? And I looked and said, why? He says, well, she just come and pray for my wife. And said she came to the hospital, she'd been having headaches, severe headaches all the time. And the doctors could not stop it. They'd given the tablets, they'd done everything to stop it. And your wife has come and prayed, and it's gone. And at that point in time, my wife couldn't speak very well. And not the words were in all sorts of, so fast she speak, you couldn't tell what she was saying all the time. And he said, I heard every word she said, and God healed her. Why? Why could God do that? I don't know. I don't know. All of his glory. Lord, teach me to pray like Jesus prayed. Teach me to pray in Jesus' name. Because that's what it's about. It's that relationship. When you pray, do you really pray? Jesus, I want your will. I want this to be of you. How do we know? How do we know when we're praying in the Lord's name? How can we pray in the Lord's name? What did it take? I saw it all here, wasn't it? Anyway, asking in his name. But Romans 8 puts it this way. Let's read that passage in Romans 8. It's a beautiful passage, and it just tells us how the Holy Spirit is there with us in our prayer. Romans 8:26. It's a wonderful passage, and it just tells us, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And you search our hearts, know the mind of the Spirit. Because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Have you ever been at that point when you don't know what to pray? I have. Many times. Sometimes the pastor and people want to know you to pray for somebody. What do you pray for? Sometimes I don't know. I honestly do. Sometimes I don't know. And in that moment, I've got to rely on God in the Spirit. And sometimes words I cannot express. I cannot bring out my feelings and what I want God to do. But Paul tells the Spirit constantly intercedes with moans and groans that we cannot imagine. I know speaking in tongues is part of that experience that has been for me in a way. That when that time of prayer you just don't know what to pray for, God's Spirit comes and through tongue he speaks. But it's more than that. It's the Spirit as part of the Godhead interceding before the Father, before Jesus, for you and for me. Because he knows deeper things in our lives. He knows what God's plan is. See, when I married Scylla, my first wife, I didn't know she was going to die. Nor did I know that Vivian was going to come in my life. And God was going to give me a few children. I was 52 when I had my first child. You see, that's how God, he knows. He knows the plans. He knows everything. there to call and ask in his name for his glory, for his purpose, for the church, the purpose of this church. And if I went round here this morning and asked you, oh, what's your desire for the church? I'd get probably 50 answers. Different things. But what does God want for this church? What minister does God want for this church? Where is that minister? Who is that minister? God knows. God knows. But you see how this passion leads on. Because prayer isn't just a passive thing. Prayer is an active thing. And Jesus says, ask and you will receive. Seek and you'll find. Seeking is doing something. It's trying to find out what God is doing. You see what Jesus said to his disciples? I can only do what I see the Father doing. And we can only do what Jesus is doing. If you do anything else, you're wasting your time. Really? Yeah? Correct? You don't do that one?
I'm sure we are.
You see, we can only do what Jesus is doing. And so I want to know. And the only way to know is to seek. To seek. Open those doors. See, when I was looking for ministry, I knew I was a pastor. I knew from a very young child. In the church, I did lots of pastoring things. The minister said, oh, God, so I'm not Peter. I was preaching in different places. My work at KSHUs was, you know, make a living. I was pastor there as well some of the time. So, yeah. I mean, that was my heart. And I remember when this course started at Manchester, the ministry I had then, he left before I took up the course. And he said to me when he went on about and he came back to yoga and I'm Peter. I said, no way, Harry. You're not getting me to college. You know, I searched and I sought what God was saying. I went to preach down into London at a Tate weekend in London Baptists were doing. And from that I went to preach at a church in London. And they were looking for a pastor, the co-pastor. And then they said, oh, we want to start a new work up and we would like you sort of to take up the job and just looking for premises. And we're looking for a building that would work on premises for you to live. And we'll be in touch with you. Oh, good. I knocked on the door and it's opened. God's good at doing that, isn't he? We've got the right door, he opens it and shuts it again. You know? And I waited for 12 months, thinking, not happening, is it? So in the meantime, the area minister, or superintendent, called those days, you did quite well, and said, Peter, please apply for that course. He said, if you don't want to back to St. Lindsay afterward, that's fine, but just apply for it. So in the end, I applied for, I had to go to 3 days of conference thing you had to do, and you had to write, there was four that written work you had to do, one was a sermon, one was comprehension, so you know, I didn't really think you'd like it that way at all. I mean, when it comes down to write 3,000 word essays, well, but you know, I did it. But you know, men of Michael Taylor, who was the had one then, and he said to me, Peter, I want to see you straight after the meeting. And I thought, oh, he's going to tell me no. And he said to me, well, we know you're called to ministry, we know you're going to be hard, but there's a place here for you. So I actually did think about it, and I said yes. And you know what happened? After I said yes, there's other work in London that are trying to get premises and get one set up. Bang. And walked back and said, we've got premises. But God, didn't he? And he got away. Look, seek out what God is saying. Because somewhere there's a minister seeking out what God is saying, and somehow you bring the two together. Yeah? We're seeking, and seeing what he's seeking. How can we seek? Yeah, we seek through his word. His word is a living word. It's not something just in a book or on a tablet today on your phone. I mean, it's after my book. It's a living word. And I'm amazed, you know, you can read God's word over and over again. And the times and times it comes, you think, wow, never seen him like that. Yeah? That's how God is. And he'll speak to you through his word. And secondly, through the Holy Spirit, he'll say what he's wanting to reveal to you, and he'll make it known. This is what Jesus promised the disciples. When the Spirit comes, the one who promised, when he comes upon you, he will take what is mine and make it known to you. That's what the Spirit does. That is his work. To take what is Jesus of the Father and he makes it known to us. And so we can, through the Word and through the Spirit, to seek out. You see, the Spirit comes and it touches the heart. And it's amazing how you can go back in history. St. Augustine, we brought Christianity to our country. I love his book. I've got a little book here, and it's got little readings every day, all about St. Augustine. And this is what he wrote. It's down from May the 6th. I read this at the time, but that just fits in. And this is what St. Augustine said. This is in 300 AD, so I'm asking probably the AD, so going back a bit of time, his words are probably a bit difficult, this has been sort of made up modernised, but this is this. If the cry to the Lord uttered by those who pray is made the sound of the body voice, without the heart being turned to God, who could doubt that it made in vain? But it comes from the heart. Even if the body voice is silent, it cannot be concealed from one who else but from God himself. Therefore, when you pray, whether loud as you cry or silent to God, your cry must come from the heart. It must come from the heart. And as it comes from the heart, that's when we know the real heart, when God's Spirit is touching the heart. See, that's what the minister church is about. It's about your heart individually, the heart of the church. And people will be drawn to Jesus when they see the heart of his people seeking his will and his purpose. And the third thing Jesus says is this: knock. Knock on that door. Look for the opportunities. Have your eyes opened and go and knock and knock and knock and knock. Don't give up knocking until he opens the door of opportunity, the door of his purposes for you as a church, for you as individuals, for you as families. You see, prayer is about knocking on the heart of God. It comes from the heart. We can't do anything else. Why? Because we are children of God, and the Spirit of God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit is in you. This is an amazing thing. You see, people sometimes say to me, "Well, prove to me that God is." And I say, I can't prove to you, but all I know is God lives in me. The Father lives in me. Jesus lives in me, the Spirit lives in me. And that's all that matters. Because out of that, I can do all of the things that God wants me to do and be the person God wants me to be. I'll never be there. But I'm on the journey. I'm on the road. When I arrive, you will see me. I'm probably getting a bit close to it at my age. But never mind. We're on the road. So people of God, people of faith, don't ever start asking. Even when we don't get the answers we need. See, sometimes Jesus says no, because it's not of his glory. Sometimes he says yes, but we have to wait. And we don't know how long we have to wait. We don't know. Because God is beyond our time. Time is nothing to God in that sense. God is eternal. But what he promises to do, God will do. And ultimately, what does he promise? Is Jesus will come again. We've been waiting 2,000 years. We might wait another 2,000 years. The world will be a different place where it is now. But be assured of this, Jesus will come again. And that's a fact. And the fact is that as God's people, when our heart is turned to prayer and it's part of our life, part of our being, part of who we are, we'll go on praying and asking. We'll go on seeking what God's will and purpose is. We'll go on knocking and knocking and knocking. We'll never be still. We'll always want what God wants. And we'll always be on the move. Praise be to our God. Thank you. Father, we want to thank you that we can come before you. And you are the God that speaks into our hearts and lives. And so we thank you, Jesus, that we can come now and wait upon you. In Jesus' name we pray. Holy Spirit, come down upon us. Fill this place with your presence. That our heart will beat with your heart. And our whole life will bring glory to you. Come down, Lord, as we continue to worship. The prayer to close with. Again, it's one of the questions. Breathe into me, Holy Spirit. Breathe into me, Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may be holy. Move in me, Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Attract my heart, Holy Spirit, that I may love only what is holy. Strengthen me, Holy Spirit, that I may defend all that is holy. Protect me, Holy Spirit, and I always may be holy. Let's say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, ever.